This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Four! Your green jacket is waiting.
What an incredible Cinderella story. This unknown comes out of nowhere to lead the pack at Augusta.
This is a Masters Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
It's Masters Week with Dirt and Spray on 1080. The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Road City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. This is Brandon Sprague, and that is Andy Dirt Johnson.
What is happening? See, we don't sound anything alike. We're two very different people.
Welcome in.
This is not one schizophrenic person doing a show pretending to be two people, okay?
Pump
we promise.
Tape.
That's not what goes down here for 3 hours.
Be pretty impressive if it did happen that way.
Be damn impressive. I bet somebody like Dana Carvey could pull that off. Like, who are the best impersonator folks out there? He, for some reason, was the first name that popped to my mind.
Dana Carvey's a good one. Yeah. Caliendo's a great one. Caliendo does bits all the time where he has conversations between like Morgan Freeman and Charles Barkley.
We throw a John Madden into there. Maybe a John Gruden. I want John Gruden and Morgan Freeman to do a radio show together.
Do you think what do you think his best one is?
I'll tell you what, man.
Because I think his best one is Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, I would say in the sports world, he's probably most known for the Gruden one. He does a really good Gruden, but his Morgan Freeman is tough to match.
Yeah.
The Morgan Freeman one is solid. I still remember the Hard Knocks episode where he went, they brought him in to do like the team address as John Gruden. He had like the fake big ring on because Gruden's always rocking his Super Bowl ring.
That's right.
We tell you what, man, you knock on wood if you're with me. And the team was all rolling. Gruden loved it. Yeah, that's a great moment on Hard Knocks history.
Yeah, Caliendo's one of those, if he does other comedy, I would never know.
Yeah, that's his thing. That's what he does.
But like, that's it. He doesn't do a stand-up routine of any?
I don't know the answer to that question.
And I think that's your answer.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I feel like Dana Carvey does. I've seen some of his stand-up bits over the years. But he's most, I think, known for, obviously being on SNL helped a ton. But a lot of the characters he played on SNL, he did politicians and, you know, George H.W. Bush. And he made his inroads in that regard. I know he does other forms of stand-up, but for Caliendo, I think that's just what he is. But he's made a great career out of it.
Yeah, guys like Dana Carvey, you know that they're capable of making you laugh in so many different ways. And yet, if you asked me what Dana Carvey's been doing, I think the only answer I'd say is, I think he does a podcast now.
He does, although to be fair, who doesn't do a podcast?
Right. Well, I don't do a podcast.
Well, technically you do because our show is podcasted, so you can listen to the show in podcast form on the Odyssey app.
Okay, touche.
So
look at that.
You can go listen to the Dirt and Sprague podcast, and it's not one guy, it's two guys.
There's the company guy.
There's two guys right there. Even look at the picture, there's two of us in that picture.
But I mean outside of work. Outside of doing the show hours, I don't do a podcast.
I've thought about starting a podcast a million times, but I'm
Same
too
here.
Lazy.
Yeah. Well, mine's not laziness. It's more of, I feel like if you start a podcast, one, what is your podcast about that makes people want to listen to a podcast? Two,
how do you cut through?
Yeah, well, you're probably not cutting through. It's those mantles belong to the same six people now at this point. People are obsessed with the same six people.
There's only 2 billion of them out there.
But what do you do that makes your podcast worthy of listening every episode? Do you know what I mean? Like, is your guest good enough?
Right.
Are you going to do an hour of just ranting about sports? Do people really want to hear that? So it's not laziness. It's more of like an execution thing. Would I be able to consistently do a good podcast?
Yeah.
I've so far come to the conclusion, I think no, because I haven't done one.
We've all had great ideas. It's like when you think of the business idea behind the scenes, this is going to make me a lot of money. But then it's a lot more difficult to actually execute. I'm going to trademark this right now. Okay. I'm throwing a TM on this bad boy.
Okay.
Okay. So don't steal my intellectual property.
Well, you haven't done it, so it's probably not an idea I want.
I've always wanted to do, because you know my passion and love of golf, and I play a lot of golf. I've always wanted to start a golf podcast in some way, but how do you do one that's entertaining, right? Everybody talks about golf. There's great golf podcasts out there, No Laying Up. They do an awesome podcast. But I wanted to do a local angle on it, and my idea was that I wanted to go, I don't know who I'd do it with, buddies, or figure out whoever you want.
Sure.
You go play a local course.
That's the caveat.
There's the angle.
I'm going to get free golf.
There's the angle.
And then do a
there's the angle.
Podcast.
And then we're going to talk about it afterwards. And we're going to talk about the course and then get somebody on from the course to talk about, you know, whether it be somebody that works in the kitchen, somebody that works in the pro shop. And like, hey, what makes this place special? You know, how long has it been around? Give me the course history. That's my big
does
golf podcast.
Does that sound like a fun
idea.
Podcast that you would listen to?
I get to play golf and talk about golf, so it does sound fun to me. But in terms of executing it, especially in a COVID world, I don't know how I'm going to pull that off.
Yeah, no, I like the idea on a surface level. I just don't know if people are tuning in going, hey, I want to hear what he thought of that golf course in Dallas, Oregon.
Hey, what'd you think about Heron Lakes, man? I'll tell you all about it. Listen to the Dirt Golf Pod.
And then how many minutes would you be willing to guess, because you got a free round with you and three others?
Right.
How many minutes of the podcast are you dedicating to just being a company shill?
Oh, I'll shill it, man.
And heronlakes.com, the blue side's open today from noon to two.
Hey, I'll film it and throw a Heron Lakes tattoo on my forehead if I need to. You need an Eastmoreland logo on my cheek? You got it, buddy. I'll do anything for a free round of golf.
Yeah, that's a, I can see why you haven't done that podcast.
I thought it'd be fun to do, like, if you took the, and this can only happen in a post-COVID world or a pre-COVID world. But to, like, take the equipment with you and do it immediately after the round of golf when you're a little drunk and you're having a couple of beers and you're, like, sitting on the course patio.
Or you shot a 93.
Sure, you're just pissed off, that kind of thing. I thought that would be a fun angle, but in a COVID world where you got to, like, get people on the phone and you can't record stuff, it's just, it makes it a little more difficult.
We might be close to getting out of that COVID world.
Hey, did you see California's opening things back up?
California is opening things back
old
up.
Old slick hair Newsom's like, hey, we're ready for business, baby.
Aren't we doing pretty good as a state? Where are we at on this opening stuff up?
Washington and Clackamas County's doing fine. Multnomah County, not so hot.
I think Multnomah County went back up to
did they?
High risk.
Where are we at with restaurant stuff?
I think
it depends on the county. I think Washington and Clackamas counties are like at 50%. You can't go indoor dining.
I'll tell you, I'm not going to out the place. I went and ate somewhere after the show, met up with some family. That restaurant was packed. There was not a capacity limit at all. Yeah. And I ended up sitting down and just hanging out. And part of that is, I got a COVID vaccine this weekend.
Sure, you're 50% vaxxed, man. You're good.
Right, and everybody goes, you know, that takes 2 weeks to kick in. And my mindset is, nah.
It's in my system. I'm set.
You think when most people are getting this come summertime, they're waiting 2 weeks? No, they're going to go out and be like, look, it's in the system. It'll figure itself out.
Hopefully the weather, we got a little, it's going to be a little chilly here with a chance of rain. But
next week?
Tuesday, 72 degrees.
Have you looked at next week?
Where are my golf clubs?
I mean, this week is, you guys are getting past this week.
This week is great. I'm not poo-pooing this week,
it's
but have be you little, taken a gander
no,
next week?
It's going to be a little chilly. It's only going to, might not get much above 50 Friday
and
Saturday.
I like how we're not complaining. That's how good our weather is.
What do you mean
been.
It's not? It says Monday 66, Tuesday 72, Wednesday 73,
yeah, that's
Thursday.
Next week.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this Friday, Saturday. It's going to be a little chilly. Something, a front's moving
60
through.
60 and sunny on Friday with no clouds.
That's going to feel like 80 degrees for us.
Yeah,
that's
I'm golfing true. On Friday.
Thursday might be dicey because it's cloudy, but I mean, give me the sunshine.
It's a chance of a sprinkle on Saturday.
I mean, hey, I'm not going to say anything.
I got a golf event.
I'm just going to say
enjoy
the
weather.
One
of my buddies is turning 50. We're all turning 50 this year, so.
You got to go out and play some golf.
You can't put that into the universe. It doesn't have an indication of rain yet. You're already jumping ahead to the, it might rain.
I'm telling you what Selesky said, what Mark Nelson said.
What channel is Selesky on nowadays?
He's on channel 2.
He's still on 2?
Yeah. Because okay. Papa Swag's got to get his news in, and he's
watch
surfing all
news.
Over.
You watch the local news?
Yeah, we get a lot of Chris Haynes and Rachel Maddow. He's got to get that fix in.
Chris Haynes?
Isn't it Chris Hayes?
Chris Hayes.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Chris Haynes has come back and do the local news.
He's on MSNBC now.
He hosts the show after Rachel Maddow.
Yeah. He's got all that and then flips around the local stuff, so he gets a break in between.
I'm kind of a media hypocrite. Sometimes I'm like... I wonder if so-and-so on TV heard this bit. And then I think, you know what? They probably didn't because, you know.
They have jobs?
They have jobs.
Working.
And also, I don't remember the last time I watched that channel or that channel.
Yeah, I don't watch a lot of local news. It doesn't fit into my schedule.
It's really hard to do now. Like before, I would get up and Fox 12 was the only local station starting at 7.
I used to wake up to Fox 12
today and Good Morning America and all that would kick in at 7 o'clock. And so I would get over to Fox 12 because they were the only local one.
Yeah. Yeah. People are Multnomah County, I think, is heading back, by the way, to get back to the original point. They're heading back for a reduced capacity in restaurants.
That sucks.
Our 7-day moving average, I just pulled up the numbers. You ready for them?
Is turning into a weather app? Like
no, not for weather. For COVID cases. Yeah. Your 7-day average is 443 cases.
Okay. So I don't have any indication of is that good or bad?
We were down almost below 300 there for a little bit.
Our lowest 7-day moving average we got was down to about 240. So we're ticking back up. But just to give you a perspective of where we were in like, I don't know, December and January,
like
we were
11.
Well over 1,000 a day. A day.
I've reached the COVID exhaustion thing. Now, let me specify here because that sounds awful. I'm basically not, unless somebody tells me what's going on, like if I walk to a restaurant and say, hey, we're at full capacity. Okay. No worries.
Yeah.
And I'm still going to wear my mask everywhere indoors.
Sure.
I'm just not like seeking out information.
Yeah.
I can't read about it anymore. It's just, it's up, it's down, it's down, it's up, it's up, it's up, it's up.
Well, it's following
it needs
the
to go down, 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 down. And I want it to go away, but I've reached the point of, I've been following one story for over a year now.
Sure.
Just let me know. Can I eat in your restaurant yet?
let me know when I can take this mask off. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, exactly.
When do I get there? I will say I try and cherry pick my positive stories because that's the kind of person I am. And there was a good one that came out from the CDC. I think it was last week that said they've been tracking people who have been vaccinated going back to like December, kind of that first cycle of vaccinated folks. And they're showing no signs of either A, getting the virus or spreading the virus.
Yeah.
So that was big news because I think there was the fear even when you got vaccinated that you could still get it and spread it, but it wouldn't affect you, but you could get somebody else.
But I also saw, I think by the middle of this month or later this month, anybody 16 years or older in Oregon's going to be
April 19th,
eligible.
I think is the date,
you
April
can
19th.
Get yourself signed up. So
well, I do wonder if like our national news stations and stuff, like do you think they're hurting ratings-wise with COVID stuff, or do you think it still rates rather high?
For national news, no, I think the George Floyd stuff going on
George
right
Floyd
now is going to get a lot of eyeballs.
And the Georgia Texas voter law stuff.
I think COVID is now in like the C block. COVID's, it's been bumped down a little bit in the national storylines.
All right. Do you want to talk about Atlanta today?
Not particularly, no. I can't wait to watch the Home Run Derby. That's all I'm going to say. It's my only comment, and I would like to move on. Home Run Derby, of course, is going to be really cool.
You know what I thought when I saw that this week? And I went, oh, okay. I don't want to talk about this topic at all.
I don't want to get to that, man.
I don't need to be yelled at today. No. I don't. Yeah. What am I going to add to it?
Yeah.
They moved the All-Star game.
Yes. And just brace yourself because I've read some pieces out there that this could leak into other sports. I guess Arizona.
Not football. The NFL was asked about this. And
did
the
they
NFL
already shoot
was
it
like,
down?
we're not going to commit to pulling anything because the NFL doesn't give a crap what your politics are. They want the money.
Yeah, that is true. There was a piece I read last night. I think it was on CBS or something that said if Arizona passes their law, get ready for the Super Bowl to get pulled out of old Glendale, Arizona.
No chance.
Because I think it's there next year or the year after that.
The NFL would be the one league. If they were to do any law changes in voting that particularly targeted one segment of people, the NFL would go, that's awful. We're ashamed that's happening.
That's a
they
bummer.
Air social justice commercials while coming back to the Arizona Super Bowl. That's what the NFL would do. We care about people.
We're right there with you.
We also made $1 billion by having the game in this state. Well, it's a busy show today. 7 o'clock hour is loaded. We've got Matt Miller, NFL draft scout.
That's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, he's doing his own thing. And then he's also working for ESPN. He's all over their coverage in the morning on TV. He's going to hop on with us at 7 a.m. and we'll dive into his latest mock draft version, how he sees this shaking out. We got news on the NFL draft from one national prominent insider on what one team is probably going to be doing. Danny Morang is going to hop on for the Daily Ticker today at around 7:30, 7:35. And we'll talk a little Portland Trail Blazers. They played last night. Did not go well.
No, it didn't, Bob. No, it didn't.
Although they cut it to two.
They did. They got all the way to two. Hey, Norman Powell looked great. There you go.
That was about it. That was about it for them. So we'll dive into the Blazers. We have a poll question up on them. It's going to be a loaded show, but we'll start as we do every day with the Morning Crunch. Dirt and Sprague with you on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Pour the milk.
Looks like me and Vincent caught you boys at breakfast. Did you have it?
Part of a nutritious breakfast?
Hamburgers. Hamburgers. The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for the Morning Crunch. A look at the tastiest topics in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
All right, welcome back in the Morning Crunch, brought to you in the fam by our good friends out at Crunch Fitness, Beaverton, Alloa Division in Vancouver, as low as $9.95 a month. Why would you work out anywhere else? Go to crunch.com.
I'll be at the Glorious House again today, baby.
Fire them cannons.
Oh, yeah. Oh, let's go.
I love that drop. That's such a good drop.
What's that from again?
It's from our friend.
Bucks guy.
Yeah, the Bucks play-by-play guy.
He was really good. I
fire
like talking
them cannons.
To him. All right, yeah, here we go. Morning Crunch.
Three on the left side against Alonzo. And he drives one in the air to deep left field. Back toward the wall. It's out of here. Pete Alonzo with his first home run of the season. A two-run shot. And the Mets get some more distance. It's now 8-2 New York.
Yeah, so you couldn't probably hear that. I didn't hear it. Dirt, I think, knew where it was because he got this cut.
You can hear it very faintly at the beginning. I knew where it was.
The Mets won yesterday against the Phils, 8-4. Pete Alonso going yard there. SNY on the call, Mets TV. The guy, I guess, in the background just screamed out before Alonso went yard what the over-under number was in this game.
Yeah, the score was 6-2. The Mets were on top, and the over-under was 9. So you can hear the fan yell, the over-under is 9!
So he wasn't advocating for the over? Because
he wanted
it
was at 8.
He wanted
he was
the
advocating
over.
For the over.
Right.
And then on the next pitch, Pete Alonso, literally, I think it was as the pitcher was like coming set, he yells, the over-under is 9. The pitch is thrown. Alonso, it's a two-run shot. And the over cashes.
Marcus Stroman with a good outing for himself. And look at the Mets. They got a win. I wouldn't know what that's like in Atlanta.
He rips it. It's up the middle.
Victor Robles comes around third, and the Nationals walk off the Braves on opening day.
Yeah, they do. Masson there, Bob Carpenter, voice of the Nats. Juan Soto goes yard, walk-off shot. Braves had, two of their first three batters went yard, including a leadoff home run in the entire game. They led 5-4 going into the bottom of the eighth.
Did, yeah.
They lost the game.
0-4.
0-4.
Not a great start. Good to see the Nationals playing again.
No, it's not.
My fantasy team appreciates it. Juan Soto just tanked my opening week. Welcome to playing, Juan. Come on. We needed you. Lineup struggling right now. Welcome to the season.
Oh, hey, the Giants lost 3-1.
I bet they did. They got two wins, though.
Let's see.
Get you two of those.
Dodgers have a bye right now.
Dodgers are on a bye right now. They're not playing.
Weak candy ass schedule.
They're playing a minor league team.
Yeah, getting to play the A's.
And
must
the Mariners
be nice.
Lost. Suck on that one,
wow,
Giants
you're just
and the Mariners.
Trying to drag everybody down with you,
dude. They're 0-4. I'm already panicking.
See, the Dodgers tanked the first game so they wouldn't have the spotlight and the pressure, and they're not going to lose again, period.
It's stupid to follow baseball closely. It really is. I'm four games into a 162 season, and I think my team's season's done.
Let the panic overcome you. That's the beautiful part about a long year. You're not the only winless team, though. The Oakland Athletics are also, but they're 0-6.
Their franchise worst, 0-6.
It's going to be a long year for the A's.
The first year, of course, I buy MLB TV. My team starts winless. Congratulations. Let's go to a different sport.
Timbers captain will strike it on. Goes off the bar. Bounces in for a goal. Diego Valeri. 97th career goal for the Portland Timbers, and they retake the lead in Honduras.
There is John Strawn.
Strong. I miss a letter? Sorry. I was typing fast this morning.
He's the national guy, right?
Yeah, and he's from Lake Oswego High School. He was the Timbers home announcer initially, and then got the FS1 gig.
Oh, yeah, okay. I remember that dude.
Yeah.
Is he bald?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I remember that guy. He's on FS1 yesterday. The Timbers had one goal leads twice in their CONCACAF League opener.
Okay.
The round of 16 against Club Deportivo Marathon.
Yeah, down there in Honduras.
Diego Valeri gets a goal there, but they ended up with a tie. 2-2, up 1-0, up 2-1. Both times they allowed the club to come back.
Come on, what are we doing, Timbers? Get a stop.
Well, it was their first real competition of the season. They're still missing some key pieces who are out with injury. They played on a cow pasture.
Wow.
The grass looked like old Notre Dame Stadium. It was long and luscious. So
What does a tie mean? What happens?
Well, it's
now?
An aggregate goal, two leg knockout round. So sure. They'll come
we'll
back to
that.
Portland.
I follow that. I'm on it.
The game will start 2-2. So whoever wins in Portland advances to the quarterfinals.
Okay. You write all that down? You got it?
Did your brain just explode?
Hey, how does that soccer tournament? Well, it's an aggregate scoring system predicated on the 1908 scoring.
I heard two-man best ball in there. Is that the format they're playing? Is that what I got out of that?
It's not that far off if you need to calibrate.
Why couldn't they just do a shootout and have a winner and the other team advances?
You get to play on your home. Each team gets to play on its home field.
Yeah, one home game.
And so they're going to fly to Honduras, fly back to Portland.
Yeah, they play here next Tuesday.
What happens if they tie in that one?
Then they go to... They'll go to overtime if it's still tied, and eventually penalty kicks if overtime doesn't break the tie.
And what happens if they win the CONCACAF League tournament?
There is a FIFA Club World Cup. So the top teams from these continental regions, so UEFA, CONMEBOL, the African Nations Cup, then there's another tournament where they go play the best club teams from the rest of the world.
Okay, gotcha. All right. I understand it now.
Sort of.
Honestly, I don't.
Timbers will play in front of fans for the first time in 2 years.
That's cool. That's
on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's
kick-ass. I think they get 6,000 or 7,000 in there.
George, with a screen from Patterson, flings a three, and it is all systems go here in this first quarter for Paul George. George comes back and flings a three. Six triples for Paul George, and the Clippers lead 110-98.
Put up a good fight the last 8 minutes of the second quarter and competed well at both ends, got back into it. But the first first 16 minutes were extremely disappointing.
There's Terry Stotts, Bally Sports on the call there, Clippers TV. The Clips win last night, 133-116. The Blazers gave up 47 first quarter points. They actually cut into this lead. They were trailing by as much as 26 at one point. But they cut back into the league. They cut it from 84-82. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it was over. The Clippers outscored them the rest of the way. And they get a pretty comfortable win, 133-116. Paul George with 36 points.
Yeah,
Portland is now 30-20 on the year.
Let me get my one shot in because last night was depressing. It's a bummer the game wasn't in the playoffs. Then Paul George would have been throwing him off the side of the backboard. Hey-oh, just had to get that out of my system. It was embarrassing. You give up 47 points in a quarter. Like, what are we doing here, man? They scored 30. The Blazers scored 32 points in the first quarter, and that was with Damian Lillard, I think, only making one shot. He couldn't get it going all night, but he didn't have a good first quarter. If I told you that yesterday, Dame doesn't play great early, and they score 32 in the first quarter, you're saying, hey, I'm feeling pretty good about that. You scored 32 points and you were down by 15 at the end of the first quarter.
Well, and it could have been worse. The Clips, I think, had 35 points with 5 minutes to go. They didn't miss their first 10 shots.
You know, can I say something on that? They didn't. I think they've made their first 9 shots.
They shot like 93% in the quarter.
Maybe I read this a little wrong. It felt like people were pointing that out too much to the point where it was like more luck than so much the Blazers' defense. You give up 47 in the first quarter.
No, it was open. It's an indication
your defense blows. Contested.
It's awful.
It's just embarrassing. Like, that's all-star game stuff.
Hey,
man.
That's another game against a playoff team that they didn't win. I'm currently going through right now because I want to double-check stuff on how they fare against playoff teams in both conferences, mind you.
Sure.
Because it just doesn't feel like they have a chance at winning these games.
Well, when you give up 47 in the first quarter, you don't. You can cut it to 2, that's fine. But when you dig a 26-point hole in the second quarter, you got to play perfect basketball the rest of the way. You just can't.
I mean, when
that.
They play these teams, like they have Utah tomorrow.
Yes, they do.
I don't even care what Utah's schedule is. Do you think they're winning that game?
The Utah's won 20 straight at home. The answer to that is no, Bob.
Okay.
I'm not going to pick them to win that game.
That's my point. It's not so much a game by game. It's more like when you go into these games as a fan, media, whatever, watching them, you don't feel confident.
No, they've given you no reason to feel confident.
They're
at this
1-7 against teams above you.
Yeah. And the only win was the early season win against the Lakers that they won in like the fourth game of the season.
Yes.
That was
The random Gary Trent went off because he got benched game.
He did. He went off in that game,
Now he's in Toronto.
Hey, Norman Powell looked great, though.
He had 32 points.
He had a great night last night.
Not bad.
Look at that.
We'll talk with Danny Morang about Blazers in the 7 o'clock hour. Coming up next, a smart move by a company with this pro athlete. We'll give you the details next. We got Matt Miller of ESPN, draft analyst, joining the show at 7 a.m. We got a little statter story today at 8:15.
Ooh,
Danny Morang at 7:30.
It is a Wednesday. You know what starts tomorrow too, buddy? We got one more sleep.
Yeah, you're right.
Waking up.
We might get to that at some point today. I might get to it in the next segment.
Hello, friends.
I'm pretty excited about it.
Well, I'm fired up, man. It's Masters.
Nike released a press release today that they have suspended officially their endorsement of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I saw that.
They said, quote, "We are deeply concerned by the disturbing allegations and have suspended Deshaun Watson. We will continue to closely monitor the situation," end quote. This comes the day after two ladies finally publicly came out to speak against him, sharing their own experiences, one on TV, one with just a letter released to the media, both basically saying the same thing. There was mental drama caused or mental damage done to them mm-hmm. and their experiences with him. They thought his behavior was awful. And so they're out to kind of say, hey, you can't get away with this stuff. And they're one of many, many women. At this point, I've lost count. It's somewhere in the mid-20s, I believe.
Yeah.
24, 27, something like that. And he tried to we haven't talked about him in a week or so. So I want to give a quick update. Did you see what Rusty Harden decided to do not too long ago, what the defense was? They basically got a letter with
a certain
number of masseuses basically advocating
who had worked with Deshaun Watson.
And said, no, he's a good guy. None of that happened when I worked with him. And I thought that defense was interesting. I have no experience in law whatsoever, obviously, because I'm doing a radio show in sports and not practicing law.
Yeah.
And Rusty Harden's one of the best lawyers in the country. I thought that was, just from my thinking, I thought that was an interesting move because
you're kind of gambling a little bit with that to me. Because he's playing this whole, I don't remember certain timelines or people, but then you go and find all of these people. Oh, by the way, you went and found 20 people who are advocating for you. You've got almost 30 going. So you're up to 50 different massage therapists. Why do you have that many? I thought that was a weird defense.
It's a very weird defense. There are other ones. So one of the women who came out to talk, Ashley Solis or something, whatever her name is, she's one of the plaintiffs in this, and she did a press conference and was one of the first people to speak publicly about it. The response from Deshaun Watson and his team was immediately to point out that she had asked for a $100,000 settlement before any of this was filed. And so that is going to be their continuing argument and narrative and saying that this is just about the money. It's a cash grab. He didn't do anything wrong. All these girls are out for dollar signs, if you will. And she asked for $100,000. We said no. And that's why she eventually filed the lawsuit. That has been their argument so far. And the NFL is still continuing to not take any action on this, and I'm wondering what it's going to take for them. They had a statement, or Goodell talked about it. He said, we're closely monitoring the situation, which is as non-answer as you could possibly get. But I'm not surprised that Nike made that decision. You step away. If you don't want to cancel it, you want to see how it plays out, that's fine. You're innocent until proven guilty in this country. But let's take a couple of steps back. Let's be the Homer into the hedge gif for a little bit here and see how this thing plays out.
What's the Tiger Woods move?
Yeah, we're gonna back away.
We're not severing ties in case this whole thing pans out and works in our favor. But we're gonna.
Well, and the Tiger Woods thing, you know, Tiger Woods was obviously a big controversy, but he just
loves sex.
Having sex.
Yeah.
And he was never accused of doing anything other than being a bad guy that cheated on his wife.
Although he did not like Bone Thugs and Harmony. That was quite upsetting.
Yeah, that's a little frustrating.
Remember that? He hated the... Yeah.
I did not like Bone Thugs and Harmony, you know?
I don't know. It's pretty relaxing rap music.
It's great rap music. I still got Ghetto Cowboy in the old rotation from time to time. Like, so those are, and he had to come out and apologize, and corporate sponsors backed away and all that stuff. We'll never forget that controversy, but that was not accusing somebody of unwanted advances and making people do things they felt uncomfortable with. That was just a guy that was having a lot of sex.
Well, it's not just Nike, like the endorsement part of this is almost whatever. That's just a big story because Nike's such a prominent endorser of athletes that now they're like, oh, we're too uncomfortable with this. We're gonna go to the back room. We're gonna wait to see what happens here. I don't know what you do. As much as I might not like them as an organization, Houston's to the point where don't you have to kind of wonder with them as a team, do you suspend this dude? Like they're already kicking around. I saw this report too over the weekend. They are wondering internally if there's a way to get out. Like, is there any loophole to just straight get out of this? Because yeah, you want the trade asset, but it's reached a point where this is untradeable. Note what team is giving you tons of future assets for a guy who might not, I mean, there might be a criminal situation going on here because now the Houston Police Department is involved. He's welcoming it. Deshaun Watson and Rusty Harden are welcoming that, but we don't know where it's going. And I'm with you. Like the NFL, I wonder what the NFL is doing. I can't help but wonder what the Houston Texans do. This is your starting quarterback. This is one of the best quarterbacks sub age 30 years old in the league. 4 months ago, this guy was the thing in the NFL. Him and Russell Wilson were the two huge pieces. Mm-hmm. When are they getting moved? And most people believed Watson was going to be the one moved. And now nobody's touching that. You don't want to be a part of this, dude.
Well, speaking of the Texans, too, so Busby, who is the lawyer for all the plaintiffs in the case, he threw out allegations at the press conference yesterday that connected and wondered if the Texans should be a part of this as well. Because he is claiming
like a cover up.
He's claiming that the Texans gave Watson referrals for massage therapists.
Oh, I wouldn't be shocked by that.
And I'm assuming some of them, if he's making that allegation, are a part of this lawsuit, but we don't know all the backstories of all of them. But he's saying that they gave him referrals, so they put him in contact with them, and that he borrowed a massage table from the Texans to go get his massages. So Busby's going to start expanding his horizons here and say they could have some culpability, the Texans, that is, as an organization. In this matter,
let me ask you this, and then I want to go to another NFL story. Will we see him play this year? I'm honestly at the point maybe he'll settle this in a week or two or three or whatever it is, and he'll end up paying a pretty hefty penny, and maybe there's no criminal stuff. We don't know. I don't think we're gonna see him this year. I think he's out. I mean, I don't know how you trot that dude out in the field. And again, I know you're going to go to the history of the NFL.
It is the NFL.
I don't think they have changed much. People like to give them that label. Antonio Brown just won a Super Bowl. He's still dealing with an ongoing investigation.
Yeah, that guy's got some issues for sure.
But I just don't know. I don't think we're going to see him.
I think you're going to see a suspension of some form. How long? 4, 6, 8, 12 games? I don't know. But I think the NFL, if this stuff ends up proving to be true and it follows through, you'll see a suspension. But I'd never put it past the NFL to get a star quarterback back on the field, whether it's for the Texans or somebody else. I think he will play.
Swag, do you think he'll play?
Not to start the season.
Oh, but yeah, like a suspension type deal and he comes back midway point?
Yeah, what is that? The exempt, the commissioner got that list. Exempt list. Non-injured list or whatever. Yeah.
Six weeks is what Zeke got, right?
And so he'll probably be placed on, if this continues, he'll be placed on the commissioner's exempt list and they'll wait and see how it plays out. You still get your paycheck when you're on the exempt list. And then as the court cases follow through and we'll see what the ultimate outcome is, then you'll get a suspension.
Hey, coming up next, not so good news for this particular team. We'll tell you why and what that story is about next on The Fan. Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst, is going to join us coming up here at the top of the hour. We'll dive into his latest thoughts on what the draft could look like. I saw this from one Adam Schefter of ESPN.
ESPN.
So the Niners, I know we've brought them up a lot, but I mean, that was a huge move. And, you know, we follow a lot of things NFC West over here. And it seems like Pete Carroll and the Seahawks with Russell Wilson are on good terms. More and more people are coming out and talking about that. And we've kind of indicated as much, like it's been super quiet. And then you kind of look at the moves they made. I think it's the team and Russ coming together saying, all right, let's bury this hatchet. What can we do?
They were never going to trade him. No. It made zero sense for the Seahawks to trade him.
Right. That's something that happens in the future if it does.
Yes.
We know the Rams went and got Stafford. So the Niners moving up to 3 is, you know, it's an indication they're done with Jimmy G and they're getting a quarterback. So it's a huge move. Well, early reports were that they love Mac Jones. And we've talked about that a couple different times on this show. And I still am not buying it. I'm still wondering how much of a smokescreen this is. Trey Lance, Justin Fields, you would just think in the modern era, do you want a better athlete than Mac Jones? Not that Mac Jones isn't a good athlete, just Justin Fields, Trey Lance, they seem to be even better athletes. Well, Adam Schefter said recently his confidence level about the Niners taking a quarterback at number 3, if it's who it is. Adam Schefter with all confidence said, quote, "It'll be Mac Jones," end quote.
It's a pretty bold statement from Adam Schefter.
That's a huge statement. Yeah. That is Adam Schefter indicating he knows for certain, because Adam Schefter doesn't report like that. He's not that guy, the hot click headline guy.
He's not falling for smoke screens the teams throw out.
No, you'd imagine he's talking to John Lynch's son or something. Like, he's getting that information from the top. What do we make of that?
I was with you that I thought it was a smokescreen. They went to his pro day, not to Justin Fields. There were, just seemed to be too much noise out there. About
well, they
how
did
much,
do the Fields pro day. It was different. Remember,
I know,
it was a separate one for them.
But it felt like there was too much noise and too much smoke for it to be real, and that they were trying to throw other teams off, and they didn't want everybody to know what their plans were. When you then get, though, somebody like Adam Schefter to report that it's going to be Mac Jones, I'm sure Schefter has been wrong at some point in his career, but this is different. This isn't a rumbling. This isn't a random source. This isn't some guy that you've barely heard of. This is the most respected NFL reporter that's out there saying that it's going to be Mac Jones. And, hey, more power to him, man. If you felt that confident to trade up and give up 2 future first-round picks in order to go get Mac Jones, you better hope that he's going to be the right guy. But that's going to be the case no matter who you take. I have an opinion that I think Justin Fields is better, but what the hell do I know, man? They've clearly studied this closely, and if they're that confident, go make your move. You hope you find your quarterback of the future.
It's a fascinating look at can the guy that might be one of, if not the best offensive mind in the league, can he identify quarterbacks properly? It's okay to wonder this aloud, by the way. His favorite guys are RG3, Kirk Cousins.
He loves him some Kirkers.
And Jimmy G. Think about Kyle Shanahan, as amazing as he is. Everybody raves about the offense, and there's no complaining about the system. It works. That seems to be the one area so far, and he's still in his 30s, mind you. That seems to be the area I would circle the most and say, do you know what you need for that specific position. Right. You can identify skill position guys. You've identified and adopted kind of what your father established within the run game. Can you identify that spot? Because so far, the best quarterback he's identified is either Kirk Cousins or Jimmy G. However you want to slice that. Yeah. He worked with Matt Ryan, but Ryan was there before he got there. Those are the three names you would probably tie to Kyle Shanahan. And I think it's fair to wonder, can he do it? Now, whether Mac Jones is better than Fields or Lance or whoever, I mean, that's, you got to wait a long time before you have that answer. I will say, though, if the Niner fans were going to the draft, this is the boo pick that you would have in your top 10. This is not going to sit well. And that ultimately could not matter. Yeah. But this is not going to be a pick that sits well if it ends up being Mac Jones at three that they traded two firsts for, swapped a pick. And I can't remember this, a sixth, a fourth,
it was
whatever
something,
they attached
it was
to it.
Yeah, it was two firsts and another pick or something like that. This would get booed. They don't want Mac Jones. We've talked to a couple of people from down in San Francisco about that. And they'll have the choice because the NFL is going full boat draft, I believe. I think, was it in, is it in Vegas, Chicago? I can't remember where it is. But they're going full boat this year. It's in Cleveland, thank you.
That's a cool city to have it in.
That is a cool city. I will reiterate, though, what I brought up a couple of times, and this is going to be the best news ever if you are Mac Jones, and that is the pick. The only spot that I can think of that's better for a rookie quarterback that has been drafted to the NFL is Mahomes to Kansas City. Mm. You have everything that you need. This isn't most teams that draft quarterbacks in the top five. You get drafted to an incompetent head coach, a bad GM, a tattered roster. And it's really hard to succeed because of that, unless you're able to kind of carry a team by yourself. This isn't the case with San Francisco. They got a good offensive line. They got a great head coach. People trust their GM outside of his ability to find a quarterback. They got a good defense with young talent.
Yes, they do.
They got weapons to throw. Like, you have everything that you need.
It is ready to go, and everybody's coming back healthy. Succeed.
You're not going to have the excuse. If Mac Jones, if they take Jones and he sucks for 2-3 years, and you're like, man, they whiffed on that. But Mac Jones is not going to have the benefit of, well, the organization really let him down. That's going to be Mac Jones just wasn't a good quarterback. He has everything going for him.
Well, the organization at that point would have let the fan base down. Because yes. They made a bad evaluation about a guy. If I brought Seahawk fan. Let's say I brought three fans from every team in the NFC West in here. Passionate, smart, maybe a little irrational, but knowledgeable of the game. Rams, Seahawks, Cardinals. I lined them up in here. And I said, hey, they're taking Mac Jones at three. Are all those fans cheering that pick?
Yes.
Okay.
Doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
But yes, they would be.
Okay. Well, let's talk more about this with our good friend Matt Miller, NFL draft scout of ESPN, draft analyst. He's going to join us. He's one of the more prominent draft analysts out there. He does great work, and he's going to join us to kick off hour number two. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with Matt Miller of ESPN on Odyssey and Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.